The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our November 2024 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state, and if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of the program as well. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of October at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We'll begin our November program with a look at a book called The Lost Coast by Jonathan and Jesse Kellerman. Father and son Kellerman collaborate on the fifth Clay Edison P.I. adventure. Here's the plot. On Northern California's Lost Coast, the executor of a woman's estate needs help sorting out some curious monthly payments the deceased had been making. Having no luck with one private investigator, she asks Oakland ex-cop turned PI, Clay Edison. Soon the original PI, Regina Klein, bawls him out in bleep-worthy terms for horning in on her case. But they form a temporary alliance to solve a complicated plot that's rife with peril. It looks like someone is running a real estate scam on an isolated location on the Lost Coast called Swan's Flat. A narrow and dangerous road twists and turns to the destination, and Clay sideswipes a teenage cyclist on a hairpin turn. The girl, Shasta, doesn't blame Clay for her minor injuries, and she becomes a key in a story that's peppered with vivid descriptions. Clay sees the Pacific Coast baring its teeth. It was a crude, axe-hewn land, bunched like the front end of a head-on collision. And Regina is one of an abundance of well-drawn, entertaining characters. She has a gift for acting and easily switches from garbage mouth to sweetness and light, as the situation calls for. As a pretend married couple, they go to Swan's Flat and let a BS artist named Bo try to sell them property in this private residential community. Find your heart on the Lost Coast. Clay checks in frequently with his real wife, Amy, who's at home with their two kids. He even consults with her on how much risk he should take. They are a loving family, apparently devoid of flaws. Meanwhile, a one-hit wonder novelist can't be found, and another young man is missing. Years earlier, Shasta's dad had fallen into oblivion off a cliff so high you couldn't hear the thump at the bottom. Maybe it was an accident, or maybe not, and maybe Pop won't be the cliff's last victim. Crisp, witty dialogue zips this well-paced story along so that when violence happens, it comes as a shock. Kellerman fans will definitely love this one. Once again, it's called The Lost Coast by Jonathan and Jesse Kellerman, and it takes place on Northern California's Lost Coast. Now let's turn to our second book for the program this week. This one's called Angel of Vengeance by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. And this is a review that was done by Ray Palin in August of this year, so it's a brand new book. Anyone who has been enjoying the combined forces of Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child for the past few decades know what to expect. Their novels are fast-paced, intricately plotted, deeply researched, and so much fun. However, they really up the ante with Angel of Vengeance, the 22nd installment of their Pendergast series. All of the recurring characters are at play here, like NYPD Lieutenant Vinnie DaCosta, Constance Green, Pendergast's longtime ward, and his wayward and diabolical brother, Diogenes, who has been their arch-rival for a good part of this series. Now, imagine all of them are somehow in the year 1880 in a Manhattan that bears little resemblance to the present day one in which they live. It is all explained by a mysterious time travel portal used for the specific intent of stopping Dr. Enoch Leng, an evil mastermind and serial killer. It all starts on the day after Christmas, 1880, when Diogenes somehow gains use of the portal and follows Gaspard Ference into the past. Ference is one of the individuals responsible for its creation, but this trip is purely for profit. When Ference hocks an item he stole from Pendergast's modern-day mansion, he heads to the nearest bank and attempts to purchase some rare coins that would be worth a fortune in today's market. Diogenes follows closely behind and watches his efforts shut down by the bank, which doesn't have the coins he requests. Ference loses it and screams that he is from the future, which gets him a police escort to Bellevue. It is there that Diogenes witnesses the nefarious Leng get Ference released into his care. Ference is tortured at a slum in Hell's Kitchen and disposed of, but not before giving up everything he knows about the portal and time travel to the evil doctor. Leng has kidnapped Binky, who is the younger incarnation of Constance. He also has abducted and killed her sister, Mary, and is now after her brother, Joe. Constance goes to 1880 to stop Leng once and for all, which prompts Pendergast and DaCosta to make their way through the same portal to lend their assistance. Constance has a secret that I will not reveal here for those not familiar with the series, and it is a whopper. The three of them are unexpectedly visited by Diogenes, who swears he is there to help and shakes his brother's hand in an effort to temporarily end their long-standing feud. He is eager to see Leng stopped as much as anyone and volunteers to be their angel of vengeance. Of course, this means that Diogenes will use his typically illegal methods for good and will make the most of his mastery of disguise to take on different personas, all in an effort to thwart Leng's plans. Now, as a quartet against evil, our protagonists hatch a plan where they each have specific roles in attacking Leng, who is no fool and is a master of multiple identities in the New York area. This is a cat-and-mouse game of the highest order. At times, it appears that Leng stays one step ahead of them and brings nothing but misery to all. It is in the brilliant storytelling and plotting from Preston and Child that we ride out this roller coaster of a plot to its amazing ending. Angel of Vengeance is like Back to the Future on steroids, with all the fears and paradoxes that come along with what we have learned from time travel. I was left in complete awe by the end of this ride, which includes a finale that provided me with a lot of revisionist history satisfaction. This may be one of Preston and Child's best novels yet, and has something for all readers to relish within these glorious pages. And this was a review written by Ray Paland in August of this year. A new book, it's called Angel of Vengeance, and it's by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. Now let's move on to our next book for this November program. This one's called A Death in Cornwall by Daniel Silva. And this is a review that was done by Lorraine W. Shanley in July of this year. So this is also a new book. Starting with the brutal murder of Oxford professor and art historian Charlotte Blake in an English coastal village, A Death in Cornwall soon expands into an international thriller whose protagonists cross Europe in search of the truth behind this perplexing death. Gabriel Allen, once an Israeli intelligence officer and now an art restorer who had lived in this same seaside village, is asked by the British police to help with the investigation. Now, when he determines that the provenance of a Picasso painting is at the bottom of Charlotte's murder, Gabriel must follow the clues through Marseille, Corsica, Monte Carlo, and finally London. He is joined by a team of trusted operatives and colleagues, including Christopher Keller and Sarah Brancroft, whom readers of previous installments in the series will remember. While the term caper might be used to describe the first half of this well-crafted suspense novel, as databases are hacked, villains are run off the road, and forged paintings are secreted into the high-security Geneva Freeport, the second half reveals a darker plot that seems ripped from the pages of recent international scandals. It involves huge sums of money hidden behind shell companies and the billionaires and the oligarchs who keep law firms and financial institutions afloat, while politicians turn a blind eye. It also highlights the role that journalists play in revealing these machinations, which is no surprise given Daniel Silva's own background as a journalist and a TV producer. Meanwhile, longtime readers will notice that Gabriel Allen has evolved into a multidimensional character. While able to stay one step ahead of a swarm of antagonists, he has a solid reputation in the art world and a real affection and appreciation for his many friends there, as well as for his faithful allies and, of course, his family. Similarly, Silva effortlessly juggles a series of plot twists while homing in on a range of serious topics, from the motivations of those who buy, and in some cases steal, art, to the role of dark money in many countries' finances and politics. A Death in Cornwall is the 24th entry in this best-selling series, and undoubtedly and deservedly will follow its predecessors to the number one spot. The book was written by Daniel Silva, and the review was written by Lorraine Shanley in July of this year. A Death in Cornwall by Daniel Silva. Now let's turn to a book by Lisa Regan. This one is entitled My Child is Missing. Here's the plot for this one. The little girl's bright blue eyes are wide with fear, her hair tousled, her tears making tracks in the dirt smudged across her cheek. Curled tight in a tiny ball, it's as if she wants to hide away forever. He took her, she cries. He took my sister. When a desperate mother calls Denton Police Department to report her children missing, Detective Josie Quinn races to investigate. 16-year-old Kaylee and her little sister Savannah went for a walk in the woods but never came home. They are good girls and know not to go far, say their frantic parents. Kaylee always looks after Savannah and brings her home safely. Until now. Even as she vows to bring the sisters home safely, Josie's blood runs cold, because they are not the only missing children. Rumors are spreading about the legend of the woodsman. When pairs of children go into the woodsman takes one of them, and only one comes out alive. With local teenagers daring each other to walk into the woods at night in pairs, Josie knows that nobody is safe from the hysteria sweeping Denton. Little Savannah Patchett is soon mercifully found alive, alone, and terrified. But she tells Josie, "The woodsman has taken my sister." All Josie's leads seem to reach dead ends. Her team traces Kaylee's scent to a dank, dark cabin in the woods, but the owner has an alibi, and there is no evidence that Kaylee has been inside. When Josie persuades Kaylee's classmates to talk, she learns that Kaylee herself had a secret boyfriend whose identity is a mystery. Josie is desperate to track him down and to work out if he could hold the key to solving the case. Then Josie's worst fears come true. Another pair goes missing, and one of them is found dead soon after. Another teenage girl lying straight and still, a halo of blood surrounding her beautiful blonde hair. Josie knows that the legend of the woodsman is nothing more than a story, but the truth is far more horrifying. With Kaylee still out there somewhere, and the TV news filled with stories of a serial killer at large, how far will Josie have to go to find the killer before more innocent lives are lost? Once again, the name of that book is My Child is Missing, and it's by Lisa Regan. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a monthly presentation by the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're going to turn now to another book that has child in it. This one is entitled The Child Next Door, and it's by Shalini Boland. Here's the plot. Kirsty Rawlings is jolted awake by a child crying. Racing upstairs to check on her newborn, she is plunged into every parent's worst nightmare. She hears an unknown voice in the baby monitor saying, "Let's take the child and go." Is someone trying to steal her little girl? In the bedroom, her daughter is safe asleep in her cot. Is the voice coming from a nearby house? But there aren't any other children living on her quiet country road. The police don't believe her, and neither does her husband. Kirsty knows something isn't right. She thought she could trust her neighbors. Now she isn't so sure. As she unravels the secrets of the people living on her street, Kirsty's perfect life begins to fall apart. Because someone is hiding a terrible lie, and they will do anything to stop Kirsty from uncovering the truth. But is the danger closer to home than she thinks? From the top 10 best-selling author of The Secret Mother, this completely gripping psychological thriller will make you wonder what really goes on behind closed doors and will keep you guessing from the first page until the final shocking twist. Once again, the name of this one is The Child Next Door, and it was written by Shalini Boland. Now let's turn to another very popular book this past month by a popular duo, William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. This one is entitled The Fires of Hell. The three musketeers of the Wild West unleash their own brand of justice on the American frontier in the newest adventure featuring the Jackals by the legendary best-selling authors William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. When a band of merciless murdering thieves raise hell across the territory, three men committed to justice descend upon them like angels of death. And when the guns fall silent and the smoke clears, The jackals are always the last men standing. Comanchero Cullen Bryce has escaped from a Huntsville, Alabama prison, where he was sentenced to hang, and he has sworn revenge against the man who killed his brother and put him behind bars. Texas Ranger Matt McCullough freed from the hangman by his gang. Bryce has kidnapped the lawman's daughter, Cynthia, along with other women, and make tracks to the Texas panhandle. Holding up in the canyon of weeping women, the outlaws plan to sell their captives to Comanche raiders. Joined by bounty hunter Jed Breen and retired cavalry sergeant Sean Keegan, McCulloch rides hard for Texas, determined to save his daughter from Bryce. But Cynthia isn't her father's little girl anymore, and hell hath no fury like a woman raised by a ranger who's just as deadly as the trio of jackals gunning for Bryce's Comancheros. Sounds like a good one. That book is called The Fires of Hell by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Now let's turn to another thriller, and this one is by Mark Greeny. It's called The Chaos Agent. Artificial intelligence leads to shockingly real danger for the gray man in this latest entry in the number one New York Times best-selling series about the gray man. Here's the plot. A car accident in Japan, a drowning in Seoul, a home invasion in Boston. Someone is killing the world's leading experts on robotics and artificial intelligence. Is it a tech company trying to eliminate the competition? Or is it something even more sinister? After all, artificial intelligence may be the deadliest battlefield game changer since the creation of gunpowder. The first nation to field weapons that can act at the speed of computer commands will rule the battlefield. It's an irresistible lure for most, but not for the gray man. His quest for a quiet life has led him to Central America, where he and his lover, Zoya Sakharova, have assumed new identities with a list of enemies that includes billionaires, terrorists, and governments. They need to keep a low profile. But the world's deadliest assassin can't expect to hide out forever. Eventually, they're tracked down and offered a job by an old acquaintance of Zoya's. He needs their help extracting a Russian scientist who is on the kill list. They reject the offer, but just being seen with him is enough to put assassins on their trail. Now they're back on the run, but no matter which way they turn, it's clear that whoever's tracking them is always going to be one step ahead. Since flight's no longer possible, fight is the only option left, and no one fights dirtier than the Gray Man. Perhaps you've read or listened to other books in the Gray Man series. I think you'll like this one. It's called The Chaos Agent, and it's by Mark Greeny. Now let's look at another review by Ray Palin. This one is called Eruption by James Patterson. The review was written in June of this year, so it's one of Patterson's latest books in 2024. Here's the plot. What happens when you team up two legendary writers? You get what could be one of the best and most incendiary novels of 2024. One day, Michael Crichton's widow, Sherry, was going through his folder of stories and found an unfinished manuscript titled The Black Zone. Along with that was extensive research on volcanoes, specifically volcanic eruptions. She sat on this information for years, hoping to find the ideal author to take over this project. Then she was introduced to James Patterson, who eagerly agreed to dive in and pick up where her late husband left off. The result is the wonderfully thrilling Eruption, which just cries out for cinematic treatment from page one. The action opens in 2016 in Hilo, Hawaii. Rachel Sherrill is taking her class on a tour of the Hilo Botanical Gardens when she notices a group of sick trees. Now, before she can speak to someone there about it, an announcement is made requesting that everyone evacuate the premises due to strong suspicion of a possible eruption from the surrounding mammoth volcanoes, Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. We then jump ahead to April 24th, 2025. No one is aware yet that they are just 116 hours away from the massive eruption that could wipe out all of Hilo and then some. John Mack McGregor of the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory is monitoring the situation closely and deciding how soon to warn the locals by updating the volcano alert level. A helicopter is getting way too close to the volcanic flow and going down. This is just the start of the nonstop action that is eruption, complete with a chapter-by-chapter countdown towards the big blast. Once Mac saves the day, he begins discussing with his team what they can do to avoid the tragedy that occurred during the last big eruption in 1984. Creating man-made vents in the mountains is proposed, but that is easier said than done and has never been tried. Before Mac can put any large-scale plan into motion, he is interrupted by the appearance of Colonel James Briggs from the local military base. Briggs shares top-secret information about a venture known as Project Hades or Agent Black. It involves the creation of a military chemical weapon far more powerful than Agent Orange. The worst part is that tons of cylinders containing Agent Black have been stored for years in one of the nearby mountains as sort of a giant chemical waste receptacle. If the military, with some local assistance, is unable to remove all of these cylinders before the volcanoes erupt, the product that will be released into the atmosphere will be strong enough to wipe out every living thing on Earth. This will make readers think back to Rachel's discovery of blackened plant life in 2016. That reveals just some of the potential, of the deadly potential of Agent Black. Eruption is so much more than just a great summer read. It combines the impeccable research and scientific knowledge that Crichton consistently infused into everything he wrote with the breakneck suspense of a James Patterson novel. In true Patterson style, the chapters are short and have the impact of jabs from a prize fighter who is setting you up for the knockout punch. When it arrives, hold on to your seats because Eruption is a wild ride that takes no prisoners. Once again, the book is called Eruption, and it's by James Patterson. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. Would you like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina? Well, you can go to Accessible Books and Library Services. Simply Google or search for Accessible Books North Carolina Library. Or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this program every month here on the North Carolina Reading Service. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.